We're doing Gemara Berachot. We're up to Daf Hei Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the page, the last thin, medium-sized line, the two dots. Tanya, we have the following braisa. Abba Binyamin omer al shnei dvarim hayiti mitzter kol yamai. Abba Binyamin says there were two things I really put myself out for throughout my days. Al tefilti shetei lifnei mitati, that my prayer should be before my bed. Bal mitati shetei nitunah ben tzafon ledarom, and that my bed should be placed between north and south. So the Gemara says, wait, what does that mean? Al tefilati shetei lifnei mitati, my prayer should be before my bed. My lifnei mitati, what does it mean before my bed? If you think it means he prayed at home and he'd always stand by his bed when he prayed his Shmoneh Esrei, how does that work? We have the following quote. How do we know that when a person prays, ideally he should have nothing separating between him and the wall? When Chizkiah prayed, he turned his face to the wall. So that seems to be a stress that when you pray, if you can, you shouldn't have things between you and the wall like a bed. Stand by the wall and pray, if you can. Obviously, the whole shul can't be standing by the wall, right?
What about a window?
That's a different halacha. We'll get to that, Bezrat Hashem. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what he meant. Lo teima lifnei mitati. Don't understand that he said he always tried to pray right before his bed. Eleima samuch lemitati. But rather what he means is, he'd pray adjacent to getting out of bed, meaning he'd be very careful. When he'd get up in the morning, he wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't even learn Torah before he went straight to say Kriya Shema and Daven. Remember, in their day and age, Davening consisted of the blessings of Shema, and Shmoneh Esrei. They didn't have all the Psukei Dezimra that we say today and all the other blessings. Birchos HaShachar, they said at home. So what he meant was, I'd get up in the morning and straight away I'd go Daven. Rashi says he wouldn't even learn Torah. Tosa says, nah, Torah's okay. He means that he wouldn't deal with anything else before davening. The Sfaradim have discussed him that they don't talk. They don't say anything from the time they wake up till they come to daven and shul. There are people who have this custom. I don't know if it's a Kabbalistic custom or whatever. I never did it, but, okay. To each his own. Those who have that custom, call a kabod. So this is a level of piety. Abba Binyamin says he was extra careful. He'd never do anything before he davened. The first thing he did when he'd wake up in the morning, obviously, he'd clean himself and go daven. And then the other thing he said he was always careful about was that his bed would be placed between north and south. The head of the bed to the north, the tail of the bed to the south. Because we say that there's this concept that the Shekhinah is to the east or the west. For whatever reason, those sides represent the Shekhinah. So we have the following quote. Whoever's bed is situated like this, with the head to the north, the tail to the south, he will have male sons. The verse says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak amar, Rav en ishtom apelet nefalim. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak taught, this is also sgula to ensure that a woman doesn't miscarry. Ktivacha utzfuncha temale bitna, mechtivata meimluim haladet, minei tomim bevitna. So the verses indicate that the woman will complete her pregnancy and she won't miscarry. So that's why we say from this pasuk, we understand the whole idea of having your bed, the head of the bed to the north, is when a person is going to be intimate with his wife. So then we say, you shouldn't at least be facing the Shekhinah. If we view it that the Shekhinah is on the east and west side of the world, so ideally we say the more proper way is that the head of the bed should be facing the north. And this is some kind of segula, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person, when he's sleeping with his wife, he's going to have the head of the bed to the north, that's a segula that his wife will have male children and she won't miscarry. Okay, now that we've quoted Abba Binyamin, we have another quote from him. Tanya, we have the following braisa. Abba Binyamin omer, shnaim shenichnasu leitpalel, if two people entered shul to daven, their shuls used to be out in the field, v'kadam echad mehem leitpalel, and one of them finished first, v'lo amtin et chavero, and he didn't wait till his friend finished his davening. He just left the shul, v'yatzah. He left the shul and left his friend out in the field all alone. Go try focusing on your davening when you're out in the middle of the field all alone at night. Tovin lo tfilato b'fanav. So in heaven, they smack his prayer back in his face. Shenemar, as the verse says, tof nafsho v'apol manchat te'azev aretz. What do you think the verse says? You think that because you, God, leaves earth, you finished praying, God left shul, you can walk out. That's it. You don't have to worry about your friend being in the middle of prayer. It's not the way it works. Not only that, but because of such behavior, God leaves the people of Israel. The verse says, the continuation of the verse is, and the rock leaves its place. That's a reference to God. God is called the rock, because the word tsur literally means rock, but tsur also means a concept that is steadfast, a concept that has strong holding. And so God is referred to as the rock, as the eternal concept. So
did you say sewer?
Sewer means rock. The imam tinlo, but if he waited for his friend to finish praying, mascharo, what are his wages? Amar b'yosbe b'chanina zochel b'rachot halalu, he merits to the following blesses. It says in Isaiah, lu ikshavta l'mitzvotai, if only you'd wait for the sake of my mitzvahs that I commanded you to be a kind person and not leave your friend stranded in shul, v'hicha nahar shlomecha, your peace is going to be like a river. We know there are different levels of peace. There's peace like a kettle of water on top of a fire, where the only way you could attain peace is by separating the two, fire and water. There's peace of birds flying together in a flock, where it's peace that they're not homogeneous, but they're all in the same direction. And the ideal form of peace is the peace of a river flowing together, where it's all one body. That's the ideal form of peace. So God says, if only you'd wait for your fellow man because of my mitzvah of being a kind person, then I'll make your peace like the river, which is the ideal form of peace. V'tzidkatcha kegalei hayam, your righteousness will be like the waves of the sea. V'yichachol zarecha, your seed, your children will be flourishing like the sand, etc., and your offsprings will also flourish. And Tosfos over here brings that the Re, one of the Baalei Tosfos, would always wait with his prayer until everyone would leave shul. He'd always be the last one out of shul. And it's not so clear that that's necessary, because our shuls aren't out in the field. It's not dangerous. Nonetheless, the Re was careful to stick around, and if someone would show up late for shul, he'd take out a sefer and learn until the guy would finish his prayer, and then he'd leave shul in fulfillment of this Gemara.